Chapter 30. From the window overlooking Second Court, Dirk watched the moon. "We shall not," he said, "have long to wait." "To wait for what?" said Richard. Dirk turned. "For the ghost," he said, "to return to us. Professor," he added to Reg, who was sitting anxiously by the fire, "do you have any brandy, French cigarettes, or worry beads in your rooms?" "No," said Reg. "Then I shall have to fret unaided," said Dirk, and returned to staring out of the window. "I have yet to be convinced," said Richard, "that there is not some other explanation than that of ghosts to—" "Just as you required actually to see a time machine in operation before you could accept it," returned Dirk. "Richard, I commend you on your scepticism, but even the sceptical mind must be prepared to accept the unacceptable when there is no alternative. If it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, we shall have at least to consider the possibility that we have a small aquatic bird of the family Anatidae on our hands." "Then what is a ghost?" "I think that a ghost," said Dirk, "is someone who died either violently or unexpectedly with unfinished business on his, her, or its hands, who cannot rest until it's been finished or put right." He turned to face them again. "Which is why," he said, "a time machine would have such a fascination for a ghost once it knew of its existence. A time machine provides the means to put right what, in the ghost's opinion, went wrong in the past, to free it. Which is why it will be back. It tried first to take possession of Reg himself, but he resisted. Then came the incident with the conjuring trick, the face powder, and the horse in the bathroom, which I," he paused, "which even I do not understand, though I intend to if it kills me. And then you, Richard, appear on the scene. The ghost deserts Reg and concentrates instead on you. Almost immediately there occurs an odd but significant incident. You do something that you then wished you hadn't done. I refer, of course, to the phone call you made to Susan and left on her answering machine. The ghost seizes its chance and tries to induce you to undo it, to, as it were, go back into the past and erase that message, to change the mistake you had made, just to see if you would do it, just to see if it was in your character. If it had been, you would now be totally under its control. But at the very last second, your nature rebelled and you would not do it. And so the ghost gives you up as a bad job and deserts you in turn. It must find someone else. How long has it been doing this? I do not know. Does this now make sense to you? Do you recognize the truth of what I'm saying?" Richard turned cold. "Yes," he said, "I think you must be absolutely right." "And at what moment, then," said Dirk, "did the ghost leave you?" Richard swallowed. "When Michael Wenton Weeks walked out of the room," he said. "So I wonder," said Dirk quietly, "what possibilities the ghost saw in him. I wonder whether this time it found what it wanted. I believe we shall not have long to wait." There was a knock on the door. When it opened, there stood Michael Wenton Weeks. He said simply, "Please, I need your help." Reg and Richard stared at Dirk and then at Michael. "Do you mind if I put this down somewhere?" said Michael. "It's rather heavy, full of scuba diving equipment."